Two and one. Well, good evening. Welcome to another exciting session. Ever-increasing Word Training Center. This class is Catching the Waves of Revival with Apostle Jonathan David. Once again, I'm always thankful for my apostle, for his apostolic covering in the royal family. And so tonight, I'll try to stick with the notes as much as I can, because it's a lot of territory to cover. We're in chapter number 18, Times of the Revivalists. And so we're going to begin with the principle of spiritual fathering. The times of the revivalists are times to fulfill the essential needs for spiritual fathering. Samuel was a spiritual father, and he was a mentor to King David. Today's generation is a fatherless generation, unless the prophetic fulfills its purpose of joining the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. There will not be spiritual or apostolic succession and continuance of God's eternal purpose in the earth realm. With spiritual succession and the principle of continuance, we need to understand that we're not running a new race, but we're continuing a race that was started by our forefathers. This generation of Christians are building upon the truths and the dimensions that was restored in the past generations. And we are to bring those restorational truths to fruition, or to maturity. And we are to take that which have been restored in earlier generations and bring them to a greater level of excellence. We ought to receive from the previous moves. That's why this class is catching the waves of revival. There have been waves of revival. We don't throw a revival away like it ended. No, it's like a foundation. And you keep building, and you keep building, and you keep building, and you keep building, not discarding or losing or letting that slip away, but adding to. Go ahead. The new move is the continuation of the old order. We need to run our own distance that has been allotted unto us in this race. We need to know what God wants us to do in our generation. We have to be faithful to what God has entrusted to a past generation, and that it will only make us relevant for the past generation. David, King David, served his generation very well, because David knew what he needed to do with his life. We are responsible to maintain the past victories and the present destinies. We are a generation where the past and the future are held together in the now. We need to be faithful to all that we have in Christ. We need to cherish and to nurture all that our forefathers have achieved and gained. The forefathers, our forefathers have invested in us their hope and their dreams. In other words, God gave them something bigger than them to do. So they're investing in us. The forefathers gained many things and exploits, not for themselves, but to lay a solid foundation for us to run and to win this race in style. The forefathers' desires are not only achieved, but they are brought to perfection. And the forefathers' efforts are rewarded in our attainment in Christ. Now, the concept of spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering is an apostolic function rendered to those upon whom the apostle wants to reproduce himself. The fathering process is to put in these men the very life and nature of our being, to be reproduced in them. The apostolic succession takes place through the process of spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering starts on a level of a relationship that is already established. Normally, a teacher-disciple relationship or a pastor-church member relationship allows the Holy Spirit to lay the foundation for this progression of love and intimacy. All normal relationships progress into higher levels of intimacy and maturity. Time and effort on both sides of the relationship is essential for this maturity to take place. What does that mean? A spiritual father does not have time to run behind spiritual children. A spiritual son and daughter must realize what God has invested in their spiritual father and understand that that mantle and apostolic succession cannot come up on them if they're not paying attention and pursuing the relationship. The church has to move in some measure of maturity before she is ready to be fathered. And both parties involved can desire for the father relationship to begin. Spiritual fathering is the extension of the fatherhood of God in a tangible way to reproduce sons in this earth realm. The nature of spiritual fathering derives its blueprint from the fatherhood of God. All spiritual fathering stems out of the revelation of the fatherhood of God. And we extend this revelation to those whom we are fathering. We must first experience the fatherhood of God in our own personal lives so that we can impart this dimension of the Spirit through our relationship. We cannot father others properly if we have not been fathered or being fathered ourselves. See, this principle of continuous, you don't get a spiritual father and meet him and then he ceases to be your father. No, he's your father at all times. Go ahead. Spiritual fathering is a divine strategy to reform society. The strategy involves God is sending the Elijah type of ministry and ministry towards us. This is God's divine appointment for the church. It is a time of specific work upon the church through the prophetic mantle of mature ministries. The response of the church to this new dimension and this prophetic development through the means of spiritual fathering. God must first turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and spiritual fathering starts with the spiritual fathers identifying who their children are and working and training them to grow up in the ways of the Lord. God will then turn the heart of the children to their fathers. Spiritual fathering is completed with the children feeling belonged and accepted as sons by those whom they're submitting their lives to as their fathers. Now, we have a great example with Elijah, the prophet, casting his mantle upon Elisha. When Elijah would depart from Elisha, I want you to hear what Elisha said. Elisha said to Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah told him, that's a hard thing to do. But if you see me when I depart from you, then you will have it. And you remember when Elijah departed from Elisha, hear the words of Elisha. He said, my father, my father. He didn't just see him as a prophet. He saw him as a father. The father, Elijah, spiritual father, invested his life into Elisha. And Elisha did double everything Elijah did. Why? Because he got the mantle. He got the mantle. Others was talking about it. He was pursuing it. Go ahead. A different way of fathering produces a different caliber in sons. And spiritual fathering, we need to realize the type, the way, or the method that the spiritual father uses is dependent upon the nature of his call and the nature of his ministry. See, apostolic succession is for the sons and the daughters to carry out what God put in their fathers. Are you listening? To the exact T as God originally gave it to them. Go ahead. The more mature and developed a spiritual father is in ministry, the greater the horizon and the greater the scope for the spiritual sons. In other words, spiritual sons should be going past their spiritual fathers, because every generation should be exponentially increasing. The mantle should be getting stronger. Go ahead. We can only beget after our own kind. All of our spiritual children can have what we have and more. Spiritual fathering is not a production of any kind, but it is a reproduction of our kind. And the seed does that. The spiritual father is putting the seed in you as sons and daughters to manifest what God put in him. Spiritual fathering requires maturity of ministers. We can be biologically ready for fathering, but not have the maturity to be a good father. Besides, there must be legal permission given for fathering, even in the natural. In other words, if you don't want to be fathered, nobody can father you. I've noticed over the years that sons who do not understand or are not mature in sonship do not understand fathering properly. Because sons oftentimes try to go off and become something that they already are. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father also. Believe you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? If you don't believe, believe for the very works' sake. The very words that I speak to you. I don't speak of myself. It's my Father who gave me those words. The very signs, wonders, and miracles that you see me perform. It is not me performing them. It is my Father working in me. It is the responsibility of a son to honor his father. And a father puts honor on his sons and daughters. That is the greatest principle in the Bible. Go ahead. Just because we have ministry does not mean that we can father others. For spiritual fathering to fully take place, we need to develop the maturity to reproduce ourselves in and through the lives of others. We need to stay faithful until that dimension of Christ is fully formed in the sons and the daughters. For spiritual fathering, God gives us the spiritual permission for a relationship to develop into this nature. Spiritual fathering is God ordained, and it is God commissioned. In other words, generations. Let's talk here. Why is God after the seed? Because God is after generations. When you understand the principle of the seed, you will understand why it is important for a father to have a male child. Because the male child carries the seed. In spiritual things, it goes to another level. Because God is the giver of the seed. He can give a male a seed and a female a seed. Therefore, even daughters can become spiritual sons. Meditate that, because all of us should want to carry the mantle of the Father who birthed us. Go ahead. Spiritual fathering requires motivating their potential and gifting to full maturity. A good father talks or speaks to his son's potential. They're not trying to down you. I remember the first time I ministered for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. This is the words he spoke to me that brought not only honor, but no pressure at all. I could be uniquely who God made me. Because he said to me, son, I'm putting you up here to minister for me. And I want you to know that I am with you. I'm not here to criticize nothing you preach. I'm here as your father. What does that mean? I see the potential in you. I'm going to pour myself into you. And I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to train you. When you go off, I'm going to be here to get you back in. But it is your job, son, to pay close attention to me training you. Paul said it this way. Paul had a son in ministry named Timothy. He said, I have no other like Timothy, no other like-minded who's going to care for your estate like I care for you. I've trained Timothy. He wasn't my biological son. He was my spiritual son. I saw the potential in him as I saw in his mother and his grandmother. And I'm going to develop that potential and release it to the generations. And that's what Paul did with many of sons in the gospel. Epaphroditus, Timothy, just the name to read. A good father talks to his son's potential, but a bad father reacts to his own faults in his sons. We must witness the grace of God in people and nurture them in that grace. There's a balance between reproducing ourselves and others without destroying their own unique personalities and producing clones who do not have an identity of their own. This spiritual fathering is delicate work, and it's a work of wisdom, and it's a work of maturity, which is available for spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering is to produce self-government in sons. Sons must be taught how to police their own lives. They must be taught how to stand up for their own convictions and their own rights. They must learn how to fight for their own spiritual bread and spiritual butter. This helps the relationship to be constantly refreshing to one another. Now, see, Apostle Thompson around the world is known as the money cometh man, a multimillionaire. You understand his testimony. But true sonship is not me looking to him, but him training me to do what he did and look to God. I'm telling you, many sons fall off the truck because they encounter financial turbulence and other kind of turbulences in their lives. And they look to their spiritual father to rescue them out of them, not understanding that it's through the principle of spiritual fathering that they got into that situation so they can take the training of the father, put it into motion, and receive the reigning of the father. Because we cannot assume that the spiritual father did not have to go through these processes in order to become the spiritual father who God made them. There's nothing like a spiritual father who will teach you how to fish versus giving you a fish. It's a whole nother realm of ministry. And that's how the spiritual son brings honor to the father, because people will see the son taking on the nature and the characteristics and producing what their father produced. We have it happening in LTMA. We have Bishop Daniel Robertson, Dr. David Forbes, Dr. Joseph Brown, Dr. David Cowan. You know, we have Pastor Marcus Flores, Pastor, I said Dr. Forbes already, I'm probably not called, Dr. Carlos Williams. We have Pastor Scott Sanders, Pastor Eric Miller, the Pastor Jeremiah Phillips. I think I got them all. Huh? I got them all. I want, why? Because I'm pushing them. You say you didn't call your own name. Yes, I did. When I called their name, I called mine. Because we are one. And I'm pushing all of them. Because Apostle Thompson is investing his life in us. And now it's our time to manifest. You watch and see it. Times of the revivalists is the seed that God put in Apostle Thompson will come on these 12 as they continue to honor and do what God instructed us to do concerning him as sons and daughters in ministry. Go ahead. We cannot become dependent on the spiritual father. Overdependence reveals a lack of maturing in sons. Spiritual fathering is solidly based on covenant relationship. Spiritual fathering cannot be carried out by organizational expertise. We cannot run rightly according to timetables to raise up spiritual children. It is a functional relationship and not a mechanical task. An open-ended communication is essential towards helping develop meaningful relationships. In other words, you have to be able to communicate. You got to locate where you are. And I'll say this to you. A son is never greater than his father. Never forget that. A son can be as his father, but never greater. Oh, that's right. You heard me. A son should never think in his mind he's greater than his father. He's to bring honor to his father. He's to be as his father. My goodness. Go ahead. Spiritual fathering is to produce successors who will rocket past us in ministry. Fathers are never threatened by their sons' achievements. They desire their children to excel and to surpass them in every way of prosperity and blessing. Fathers' desires are for children to break into new areas that they themselves have failed to explore. The fathers want the children to be worthy successors that provide continuance to what they have achieved thus far. The desire of spiritual fathers is not only to reproduce themselves in others, but also to achieve through their sons their call and ministry. In other words, their call to ministry was bigger than them. So God raised up your seed to carry out aspects of the ministry that God put in you, but you didn't carry out. All right. Y'all need some help. King David said, I want to build God a house. It's in my heart to build God a house. But God said, David, you are a man of war. You have shed a lot of blood. And I see that desire in your heart. But that portion is going to be carried out by Solomon, your seed. I put it in your heart, but Solomon, your seed, gonna carry it out. There are many things that God have put in Apostle Thompson's heart, but many of those things will be brought to manifestation and maturity in the sons that God has given him. They're going further. We are going further. Go ahead. through spiritual fathering, we can provide a continuance to a move of God that started in the heart of God through one man, money coming, words that God took and put in our apostles' mouth for us to take to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation until the whole earth is full of the glory of money coming. Go ahead. The man carries the message, and the response to the message gathers momentum in the hearts of the people. When the message is spread to others, it becomes a movement that impacts or affects the nation, and the whole nation flows with the man and his message. This is the principle of apostolic succession in motion. The process of fathering, the times of the revivalists, are times of training by the process of impartation. The fastest way of training is through the spiritual process of impartation. You remember what Paul said in Romans 1 and 11? I desire to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be established so that both of us can be mutually blessed by the impartation that God has given me to give to you. Go ahead. Impartation, it is the ability to plant in a seed form into the spirits of others what we possess in our lives, ministries, and call. Impartation also releases with it a spiritual quickening on that planted seed to mature it to full harvest. The quickening spirit is also released to speed up the time of maturity and fullness. The training which comes by impartation is supernaturally effective and multiplies the results. The mature minister is reproducing a greater measure to his ministry, and he lives through those whom he have trained. The process of impartation. Impartation cannot take place through superficial contact or casual touch. Only a touch of diligent faith can draw impartation into our lives. Impartation can be done only by life transfer. That's why Jesus took the 12 and said, I chose you 12 to be with me. You cannot get the impartation with your own itinerary. You must be with me as you train and develop with me. Then I can release you to go out two by two and release that which God imparted unto me. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 say, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. See, first of all, I can only import what I receive. If I have not received it from God, I cannot import it unto you. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which was, delivered unto me. You get it. Go ahead. Impartation can only be done by life transfer. And only a life force can implant seed. Impartation requires intense, passionate hearts. It requires forceful release. And impartation is only possible if we have something that we can impart. We cannot impart what we do not personally possess. And we cannot impart what we have not gotten or received. No man can impart that which he have not received from God. Impartation will impact or affect every aspect of our lives. And human seed, a human seed impregnated into a human body, it not only brings biological change, but also hormonal and psychological changes. Impartation takes place at different levels of spiritual maturity. The impartation of a pastor to leaders needs a greater level of maturity and resources on the part of the one imparting. See, you got to be wealthy for this impartation, baby. I'm just being honest with you. You got to be backed by wealth, dominion, and power. You got to have experience, wisdom, insight, illumination. All of these things come in spiritual fathering. Go ahead. Impartation is to produce quick succession to the mature ministries. The Lord allows us to nurture that seed through a period of time. The quickening spirit cuts short the time, the process of maturity. The apostolic impartation reproduces many quickly and brings them to their full potential in ministry. The times of the revivalists are times of networking, of churches, and ministries, LTMA. For the times of revival to gather momentum and gain credibility, the Lord is preparing a great spiritual net. This net is performed by linking together all of his ministers and whole churches. The Holy Spirit is compelling leadership to cross the different streams in the body of Christ, and sometimes crossing even international barriers in order to relate and work together for the end time purposes to be fulfilled. The stronger these bonds of covenant and interpersonal relationships, they are stronger for the spiritual net of the harvest. The spiritual networking is necessary because of the magnitude of the end time harvest. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need laborers who have apostolic calls to go in and gather the harvest. But we also need laborers who are trained by apostolic and prophetic training. of evangelists, pastors, and teachers to develop and train the harvest that God is calling in. Laborers to go out and laborers to take care of those who come in. Here are the following spiritual benefits of this covenant relationship, networking of ministries and churches. We can become better and more effective vessels in our own communities. We can have great results, achievements, and impacts on our own communities. We can prevent a fall from becoming a disaster. We need those companions who can lift us up. Networking helps us to maintain one another's fire. Networking multiplies power for smaller churches to stay in business. And networking is God's time in time strategy for world evangelism. Now listen to me. That's it. We got it. All right. God bless you. Enjoy. And we look forward to being with you next semester.